Unlike apartments, my people never move because my price is always more affordable than the apartments around me.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Junkie Podcast. Today, we're taking a fun ride into the world of mobile homes with Nicole Briscoe, a.k.a. Mobile Home Mommy. Nicole, a former social worker from North Carolina, has turned mobile homes into profitable long-term rentals, proving there's real treasure in these tiny trailers. Who knew the road to real estate riches might just have wheels? Nicole, welcome to the Real Estate Junkie Podcast. I'm so happy to have you on my show, the Mobile Home Mommy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
And you know, there's like a stigma behind mobile homes. You know, we've all heard it. It's a bad investment. They depreciate like a car. They're risky. But you're turning that myth on its head. So tell us, how did you even get started with mobile homes? We got to hear that story.
So to be honest with you, mobile homes chose me. I did not choose mobile homes. I was trying to be like everyone else and do traditional real estate investing. And what ended up happening is it didn't work. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I tried it. It didn't work. I bought a course. I tried to do the fix and flip method. I realized I needed a hard money lender. I was trying to connect with realtors. They weren't following up with me. I was getting discouraged like we normally do. And I had spent $2,000 on the lady's course. So I'm like, what else can I do to make money? Well, in the course, towards the end, she had breezed over wholesaling. And I'm like, I could sell somebody's house and not be a realtor? So I'm like, wait a minute. So I started doing research in this wholesaling houses, tried to do that. One of the sellers died on me. The other one went ghost. And again, the only thing I could afford was YouTube. Went to YouTube and saw a young black couple talking about mobile homes. I was super inspired. I was like, you know what? I'm going to follow them. They're Mobile Home Elite Investors. And from there, I bought their course from $500. They had it on sale. They went to a webinar. They were definitely believable. And I just took off from there. From that first year, I was working full time as a school social worker. The pandemic had just started. They had shut schools down. So I was doing my full-time job and investing in mobile homes. My goal was to have 7 by the end of the year. I did 23 deals. And out of the 23, I kept 9 properties. So I kept 9. The rest were wholesale deals.
Wait, hold on. I got to stop you. You said, because this is something that I hear a lot of investors talk about. I did the same thing. I had a number like in the very beginning. I'm like, okay, this is my number. I want to get to 5. And that marker was so far light years ahead of my life. Like, but once I got there, then you set another goal. So what made you start with 7?
I just felt ambitious. I just picked a high number and I do not like disappointing myself. I'm gonna be honest with you. And I put the number out there on my social media so people can hold me accountable. Like you said, you follow me. I purposely post that I go to the gym all the time because I want to get that feeling like, oh, shoot, I ain't go to the gym. Somebody probably like, because I need it for me for accountability. So that was the ambitious number I put out there. The next thing I know, Business Insider hit me up for an interview and I just made more money. Every year. I'm super excited. I've only been doing it for 4 years, but I've been able to retire my mom. That's a blessing. So I pay her every month. I've been able to retire myself. And I had to buy me one risky investment. I bought a 2022 Maserati truck.
Ooh, yeah, I think I did see that.
Other than that, though,
you know what? You got to do that.
Listen, other than that truck, I'm pretty frugal. I'm still cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to reward yourself, though, along the way. And we all do that, right? Like, I try to live as frugal as possible. myself, but like once in a while, you got to give yourself something back, you know, you got to have that. But you know, one of the things that really strikes me about mobile homes is the affordability. It seems like, I mean, you can talk on this. It seems like that is something that would be a lot easier to get into, because you're saying you're holding on to these as well, right? You started out with the idea of wholesaling, and then you're like, nope, I'm gonna hold on to these because you want that passive income, right? You want that monthly income that's coming in without you doing anything other than maybe dealing with some maintenance issues every now and then. But I'm sure you have a property manager for that. Or do you manage that yourself?
I manage them myself. The reason I manage them myself is because I'm a social worker. Like I was a high school social worker prior to getting started. I did that for 7 years. I love being there for the people, even my tenants. Like you see, I record stuff and I post it all the time. My tenant called me the other day. You know what his complaint was? Where's the pest control guy? I've seen 2 ants. Not roaches, not mice. He's seen 2 ants. So those are the type of calls that I get. I'm grateful for the tenants that I have. Having that social work degree, I'm good at vetting people out. But I like managing my properties. And truth be told, last year I had over 20 properties. I lost 15 properties last year. Again, I didn't know. When I first started, I was seller finance and everything. Well, what happens when a term ends? They own the property now. So last year, I wasn't getting keys. I was giving keys back. I'm like, oh, gosh. So now even though I teach seller finance, renting, I don't seller finance anymore. My long-term strategy is spend the same money and make it rental properties. And I just do higher grade when it comes to the rehab, so I don't have to worry about people calling me with, hey, this don't work. Hey, that don't work. I used to do some rehab work that was questionable. Like, I didn't know I was using that particle board flooring. That stuff is terrible. Some water get on it, it spoof up like a marshmallow. But now my properties, they're pretty good when it comes to rehab. I spend more money on the rehab, so I don't have to worry about tenants calling me.
So now that you're buying and holding and just renting out long term, how many mobile homes do you have right now?
I have 10, and I bought 3 more. So I don't count them yet until they're making me money. So in total, I have 13, but to me, they don't count until I finish the rehab and I'm making the money.
Got it. And are you moving these to certain parks, or are you keeping them in place? Like, what's the average like mobile home that you pick up look like from start to finish?
So typically what it looks like is me connecting with a seller. Once I connect with a seller, try not to move it. But if I do move it, I don't own any land for these mobile homes. I don't own any land for these mobile homes. So what I'm doing now is I am putting the mobile homes inside of mobile home parks. I rent the lot out, right? Some parks give me permission. Yes, you could come in here and rent. And I'm just getting more rental property. Last year it was, hey, 2023 is coming up. I put these people on a 3-year term. I'm losing these 15. So last year I just took a lot of money wholesaling, building up. So now I can just buy all these properties.
So do you have any plans on actually purchasing any mobile home parks or anything that you could place these on? Quick break in our show for a small but impactful favor. If you're enjoying the Real Estate Junkie podcast, please support us with a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This simple step is a big help in bringing you more great guests and top-tier real estate insights. Thanks for being such an important part of our community. Now back to the show.
I thought about it. The opportunity has come a couple of times, but the deal hasn't been right. I am more comfortable with flipping mobile homes inside of parks and flipping mobile homes on land. Now, I've done that twice and the return was excellent. So I have a mobile home on 3.5 acres that I own right now. and I'm getting $1,300 a month for the next 6 years. They also put down $40,000, so I'm making $85,000 off of that. I've tried to park before. I don't think it's a bad idea. I really don't know if I'm fully prepared for it because, again, I need to step out of my comfort zone. But right now I'm super comfortable with flipping in the parks and then flipping on individual parcels.
Gotcha. And so what would you say, like, the average mobile home, if you're picking it up, like, how much are you picking these up for? Are you getting them for free in some cases? Like, tell me about that. Listen. And also, I'm going to add in,
okay,
what is the process to even buying a mobile home?
Okay. So let's start with the process. The process is simple. I find Keith. Keith tells me that he has land that his granddaddy passed down to him. It has a mobile home on it. He doesn't want it. He just wants to get rid of it. I go out there and I assess it. A lot of people are like, it needs flooring. It needs this. If you can have it, if you take it away. So boom, I get mobile homes for free. So the process for obtaining it is I will go with you to the DMV with the title. Or you give me the title. I get it notarized. Boom, they give me the registration card. Wherever you register your vehicles, typically that's where you register your cars at. So in the state of North Carolina, I go take the title, transfer it in my name. Guess what? I paid a $56. Boom. As far as getting the mobile home move, I go to the tax office and I'm like, hey, I need a moving permit. They're like, okay, let me check the taxes. This is where people get mobile homes confused with. The tax office says this mobile home is only valued $2,000. That's great. They said it's valued $2,000. But I know I could take this mobile home and fix it up and sell it for $25,000, $45,000. Why? Because who's paying $45,000 for a home? That is the point that people miss. They look at the value of it, the tax value, and they think that's the ARV, and it don't. It's only worth $2,000, so you can't do anything with that. I just got a free mobile home for my daughter. It was a 1979. The taxes on that was less than $20 for the entire year. Turned around and I put $6,000 into it. And it's on, and this is why I post so much so people can see the proof. Got it for her for Christmas, right? Got it for free. He even gave me $2,000 to move it. Now that's about negotiation. Put $6,000 into it. I put $6,000 into it. Look at my page. It's pinned on my post. She sold it for $23,000.
Wow. She didn't want to hold on to it and have that monthly passive income coming in?
Absolutely she did. But my daughter is in a welding program, and he offered her higher than what I had posted it for. And she's trying to buy a rig, a welding table, and all this equipment for welding. So she took the cash offer. And I'm like, look, you got $23,000. We can buy you two more. And she's like, okay, are you okay if I take cash? Absolutely. Every deal doesn't have to be a rental we can get creative with mobile homes. And Keith, I'm going to be honest with you. I only invest in mobile homes. I get leads on houses all the time. Oh, you bought my sister's mobile home. I have a house for you. Great. Thank you for the referral. I give it to my sister that's in traditional real estate. She gives me $1,000 referral fee. To me, mobile homes is so simple. It just makes sense. Now, in the beginning, I struggled. I made a lot of mistakes. But this has been amazing for me, and it works, so I'm not going anywhere else. And I don't have a license. I don't need one, so I'm going to keep rocking and rolling.
And so you are no longer a social worker at a school, right?
Not at a school, but I'm a social worker every day, Keith, because some of your cousins just run me up and tell me all their problems. So I help them assess their problems. But yeah, not in the school, no.
Mobile homes have made you financially free.
Absolutely. Never in my life would I expect to be making $300,000, $400,000 plus a year. Like I was on Section 8 for 7 years, working in the school system, making about $40,000 a year with a master's degree.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. All that education and you bumped into something you didn't even need anything for. You just needed the right mindset and attitude to take it on.
Yep. I got the school debt to prove it.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Well, hopefully the mobile homes will pay that off for you if it hasn't already.
Right.
So I'm sure, you know, you're picking up these mobile homes, especially on these, you know, these abandoned homes that maybe have been just sitting there for years. I'm sure you've seen your share of wild stories. I'd love to hear about like one of the funniest or most surprising things you've ever encountered inside a mobile home that you've purchased.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no.
So this man called me. He saw one of my bandit signs on the side of the road. He was like, I got a mobile home. And all you got to pay me is $1,000 for it. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And I'm excited because everybody needs 3-bedroom, 2-bath. He's like, and the flooring is kind of unstable in the back, but it's pretty good. It's a solid house all the way through. So when I get to his house, I found out that he has over 100 acres of land. And it's this mobile home just sitting out in the middle of the field. He really wants it removed without paying a cost because he was building a workstation, a work shed. Okay, no problem. Go out there. We're walking through this mobile home. And as we're walking through this mobile home, I'm on a FaceTime call with my student showing her, like, this is a mobile home you don't want. I mean, it's chickens running around. It's roosters, it's cats, it's cows all on his farm. They're just all around the property. It's horses. And I'm just looking around and it was like 20 cats just running in and out the house. So he walked back and he said, oh, the floor is a little unstable over here. Just be careful. I'm like, okay. So I'm walking through and I get to the area where he said the floor was unstable. I said, hey, where did you say the floor was? And I fell through the floor. The mobile home was about at least 6 feet high off the ground. I fell through the floor and he was super country. He's like, oh my God, let me help you, lady. Now he's grabbing me and he's sliding me from out of the hole. I thought I heard Jesus say, come home, my child, it's safe. And I'm like, no, I don't want to die right now. I want to stay right here. This man is pulling me through cat poop and I mean, it's all over me. And you forgot I told you, Keith, I was on FaceTime with my student. She saw me fall.
Oh.
She was crying. She never hung up. She was just crying, laughing the entire time. And I still have that video recorded. She was crying, laughing the entire time.
That I would love to see. I would love to see.
You want to see my downfall?
No, I want to see how you made that mobile home beautiful. What did you end up doing with that mobile home?
No, I don't want that damn house. I told him keep it.
Oh, that was it for you, huh?
No, that was it for me. I was humiliated. The house had a whole bunch of horse saddles in it against the wall. It was just too bad. He was like, well, I'll take it down to $500. I don't want this house, sir. It was, no, absolutely not.
I'll pay you just for you to keep it.
Exactly.
Behind the financial aspect, how has mobile homes impacted your life?
It's so hard for me to put in words, but I'm gonna give it to you like this. I now get to go shopping on a Tuesday morning for produce with the elderly. I'm really just walking around shopping when I should be at work. I don't have to go to work. I can just shop early in the morning. This week, I've been deciding to take a walk. I've just been walking. And again, it's in the morning. So all the elderly people I've never been able to experience my time.
That's incredible. And I mean, I've encountered the same thing. I was fortunate enough to be able to leave my 9-to-5 because of real estate and waking up every morning and just going how am I going to plan my day today? And just having that freedom to go to the grocery store in the middle of the day to pick up something or just do whatever is just, it's so freeing. It's just, it's incredible. I have a large family, so I have my wife and I together have 8 kids. Most of them are all grown. We have one last one living in the house that's only 11. But I worked my life away while they were growing up, and I missed so many moments. I say this all the time on this podcast because it's really what means more to me than the cash flow that the rental properties provide or anything like that is just getting my time back, being able to enjoy every moment because life is short. And how fast these kids will just grow up and you just blink your eyes and they go from crawling to running to graduating high school. And you're just like, what the heck just happened? So I'm really like at a point in my life where I'm just slowing down and paying attention to every moment. I'll sit there and just look at the leaves blow and going, man, I never had this opportunity before. It's not about the money. It's just about the time. Like that's, I would give the money away, but having that time, priceless.
I agree.
So you're not just making deals, right, on these mobile homes. You're also mentoring others, right, inspiring others. Talk to me about that.
Okay. So typically what it is, and I completely get it. People just say, well, I don't need mentorship. I can go out there. I'm going to watch her YouTube. I'll follow her. And I'll just figure this out on my own. I did the same thing. And the first year I made $181,000, but I was confused at how so much money came in my bank account. But I felt like I didn't have any money in my hand. So what happens is I didn't have a correct strategy. I was borrowing money and just buying more properties. So I had to develop a system, wholesale, use wholesale funds, buy a house, wholesale, use wholesale funds, buy a house. Then my bank account started growing because I had residual income coming in. But again, by the time I figured that all out, I was 2.5-3 years in the game. So when I lost 15 properties last year, I was shook like, I really lost 15 properties because I put everything on seller finance. 2023 and 2020 sounded so far-fetched, like I was on cruise control. So again, a lot of people get stuck with how to build money and keep the money, how to negotiate and strategize these deals, building relationships with the parks. I'm telling you, if I was sensitive, I would have been out the game. I did a lot of crying that very first year because some of these park owners, they own 5+ mobile home parks. And I'm like, oh, I know he gonna want me to work in his park. They do not. They're not investor friendly. They don't want to be bothered. And I'm like, why would you not want to work with me? I'm this, I'm that. They didn't want to hear any of that. They did not want to be bothered. So it was hard for me to comprehend or get around. How can I navigate this relationship? And a lot of people are like, they won't talk to me. And I'm like, yes, they will. Here's where you need to attract them on how you can help them with their mobile home park. When we're dealing with park owners, a lot of them are family owned, right? You either got large corporations owning the parks or family owned parks.
Yeah. So you help your students navigate through so that they don't make the same mistakes that you did. Right. And I like what you said about finding a way to keep them, right? Like that's the key, because once you find a way to keep them as a long-term rental, they're always going to be making money for you versus if you're seller financing them, once that debt's paid, there's no more money to be made.
That's it.
So like that's definitely the strategy. So is that what you're helping your students do, is to basically from start to finish, get something set up so that they could become financially free like you have without making the early mistakes that you did?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
But can we talk numbers?
Let's talk numbers.
Okay. So let's talk about this home that I just recently purchased. I purchased it for $2,500. All in with the rehab, the material, I'm right under $10,000. But let's just say $10,000. So all in on this 3-bedroom, 2-bath, on a piece of land that I'm renting that's not a part of the park, it's costing me $12,500. The lot rent that I'm going to pay, since I don't own the land, is $400 a month. I plan to rent this home for $1,400 a month minimum. I thought about $1,500, but for sure I'm going to do $1,400. So $400 is going to go to the landowner and $1,000 is going to come to me every single month. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm going to have my money back within a year. Traditional real estate is not producing where you get all of your money back within a year. And then, baby, I'm going to rent that mobile home always and forever. Now, two things. Yeah. People always say, well, what happens if the lot rent goes up? When the park serves me with a 60-day notice, I take the same notice and text it to my clients, and I also email it to my client. Hey, just wanted to let you know, the lot rent is increasing. July 1st, $50. Your new rental payment will be $1,450. That's it. And here's the thing. Unlike apartments, my people never move because my price is always more affordable than the apartments around me. So yes, I'm renting a 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $1,400. The apartments for a 3-bedroom are over $1,800 in my area. Then they have to qualify strict backgrounds. Then they have to qualify strict criminal history. Whereas I'm able to be a little bit more lenient. Now, I'm not saying I'm just getting people in that's done all of this horrendous stuff, but typically an apartment, I want to say it's like 7 to 10 years where with who I'm renting from, they're flexible depending on what the charge was. Oh, okay, that's a misdemeanor. Okay, that happened 2 years ago. We understand that, right? But getting back to the numbers, $12,500, and I'm going to get all of my money back within a year. So after that year, every single thing is profit. And it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath with a taxes on this 1994 mobile home is only $36 a year. Give me more.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So it's all cash after that first year. So you could probably wholesale a few and then have that money for all your rehab. So it pays for, like, if you wholesale, how many would you have to wholesale on average? Because I know each one's different. How many would you have to wholesale in order to get a free one ready to go?
So the month of April, I made $17,000. But the month of March, I didn't close any wholesale deals. So it always varies. But if I'm being honest with you, every month besides March, I've closed 4 deals every month. January, I made $30,000. February, I made around 22. March, nothing. April, I made 17. So the numbers vary. The numbers vary. If the real question is, how hard are you going to go on your marketing?
Yeah. So what do you find is the most successful way of finding these? Is it bandit signs, or is it, you know, I'm sure at this point you just have people saying, hey, I found one, you know, because they know who you are. So repeat customers, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Repeat referrals.
But starting out, if I was just starting out,
what I would say is I like to give people the cheap ways. And it's because that's the way I started off. So just starting out, I was only connecting with people, talking to park managers, owners, the people that lived in mobile homes, the people that live in mobile homes where they frequent, and bandit signs. Now, my goal is to close at least 4 deals a month. So I scale up on my marketing. So now I run Google ads. Anybody that's a newbie, you don't have to do that, right? Listen, the very first year I was calling all these parks, I got introduced to one park owner and I did 7 deals in his park. 7 in just one park. So I didn't go anywhere else because I was so occupied with that one mobile home park. I'm saying that because it only takes one yes. It only takes one yes. But, and again, that was with me marketing, doing what? Making phone calls. Hey, how you doing? Just, do you have any used mobile homes available? What do you have in your inventory? Asking questions like that. That was in the beginning. Now I'm a little advanced when it comes to marketing. So I run radio ads. Majority of my sellers are older white people. Majority of my sellers are Hispanic families. So guess what I'm doing? I'm running radio ads on the radio station that I've been told that they listen to. It's a Christian radio station. When it comes to my buyers, I'm frequenting where my amigos are hanging out at. They are always at the Hispanic flea market on the weekends. Hola, I'm there every weekend too. Okay.
Nice, nice. You know, I just had a podcast. I just recorded a podcast last week with Christian Osgood. He's big into multifamily apartment buildings and buying things using seller financing. And he told me something that was interesting that I never heard before. He was actually reaching out to owners of apartment complexes, just asking if he could have a cup of coffee, telling them that they, you know, basically, hey, I want to learn from you. I want to learn what you did. I own a few properties. You're doing it much bigger than me. Can we sit down and have coffee? He'll sit down and have coffee. He'll get one or two of them that will say, hey, I have a friend that's thinking about seller financing their apartment complex. Are you interested? So like, that's how he's getting his leads. It's basically talking to the people that are doing it, right? Surrounding himself with who he wants to become. And in your case, you're going in there, you know who your buyers are. You're going where they're hanging out. And that's how you're just going to attract that to your business. And that's mm-hmm. beautiful. So can you tell me about on the mentoring side, like, is there a success story you can share with one of your students that you've been able to like point in the right direction so that now that they're able to achieve the same success or maybe even beyond what you're doing that you've helped?
Absolutely. So I have one of my newest students. Her name is Tracy. She's in North Carolina as well, but she's about 3 hours away from me. So I've never met her. That's always the biggest question. I need you to be here in this state. No, I don't have to be. I can help you and get you to where you need to be without actually meeting me, right? Tracy has been working with me now for 3 months, I believe. 3 months. She's closed 7 wholesale deals. And she's itching now to get her first rental property. That's where she's going to buy and hold because she's made so much money with the wholesaling property. So that's my most recent, but my very first 6-figure student, I was terrified to teach him, if I could be honest, because he's in California, the West Coast. Now, I've been teaching all these people in the South. I'm like, oh, shoot, here's my first big fish in the West Coast. I don't know if he can do this over there because their market is much higher. Again, he was my first 6-figure student. And what also made me nervous, too, is he was in the NBA. So he's an ex-NBA player. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to make sure he close. Man, he went in there, did exactly what I said. He would message me 10, 11 o'clock at night. Okay, Nicole, so tomorrow I'm going to do exactly this, 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 this. You got to understand, as a teacher, as a mentor or coach, everybody has different learning styles. And for him, he needed me to tell him verbatim what to say, and he would go and do exactly what I said, and it would work out. So he was my first 6-figure student on the West Coast. And since then, I've had a realtor, Josh. He's on the West Coast, California as well, another part of California, Southern California. He said, I make more money doing this than being a realtor, and I don't even need no license for this. He got a mobile home, I want to say, for like $2,000 and sold it for $34,000. $34,000. I said, I wish I was in the West Coast because their profit margins, they're making way more money than we are.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wow. That's incredible. Well, Nicole, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been not just insightful, but fun. And you definitely made me think, and I'm sure our listeners as well, about mobile homes in an entirely new way. I mean, I'm seriously, when we get done with this call, I'm gonna be doing some more searching and just to see what's out there in my own neighborhood, because it sounds fun.
Listen, I just hope overall that I open your mind up, and everybody else is listening, that always overlook these mobile homes. They always overlook these mobile homes. Do you know the largest mortgage lender for mobile homes? Guess who owns those two companies?
I have no idea who.
Warren Buffett.
Really?
Now, if Warren Buffett is investing money into mobile homes, multi-billionaire, you got to start thinking like mobile homes is the most overlooked asset class because they're looked at as depreciating assets, man. But just think about this.
Yeah.
If anybody listens and they go back to my live, it was the last week of April, whenever they listen to this. I think I had on a red shirt with black words. If they go back and listen to the live, the park owner just so happened popped up and he came on live and he talked to them. That man owns over 8 mobile home parks. He has 400 lots. He has 400 individual lots where people park their mobile homes and rent it out from him. He charges them $400 a month. He just went up on lot rent. $400 a month for 400 lots. That's $160,000 a month.
Wow.
Think about how much he's making a year. And think about how much he could sell his entire portfolio for. He's received offers for $30 million that he's like, no, thank you. Nope. And he's been doing this mobile home business for 30 plus years.
You know, there's more people that need affordable housing yep. than people that don't.
Yep.
And that's why this niche is, it's so overlooked, which is unfortunate, which is actually kind of fortunate if you're someone like yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, not if everyone knew about this, maybe it wouldn't be so lucrative, but they don't. And that's the beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll see people argue with me all the time. She's lying. They're low value. You can never sell that much for a mobile home. I used to be like, no. And I used to explain now just like, you're right. It's all fictitious. It's a scam. Please don't invest because I don't give a damn. I know I'm going to get the money.
Exactly. Awesome. Is there anything, though, that you want to say before I do wrap this up, Nicole?
Just if you do give it a try or anything you give a try in life, you got to stick with it for 6 months. If too many times myself and other people, we become serial course buyers. We hear something, we go crazy. Airbnb, property preservation. Rent, traditional real estate, mobile homes, whatever it is, you truly need to give it 6 months to a year and go crazy consistent with it. You can't say you tried it once and it didn't work. Be consistent in what you invest in, and you got to invest in yourself. That's it.
Wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Nicole. It was a pleasure having you here and everyone else out there. Until next time, God bless. Peace out and happy investing.